This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, how's everybody doing today? Great to be with you on the show. I believe, what was my quote yesterday about Colorado State, Virginia? I said first team to 50 wins. I said, and it'll be Colorado State. Well, to my knowledge, Virginia is still out there right now and still haven't reached 50. Whew. Brutal. Brutal. Wow. All right. So let's bring in the great man himself, Joe Lenardi. Sir, welcome after... Saturday night had to be chaotic in your world. are you able to breathe now?
Yeah, I'm breathing. I'm you know, definitely in the wind down mode. And to your point, I think Virginia would have needed to play three halves last night to get to 50.
And even then, I would think it would be a...
It would have been a toss-up.
It would have been a struggle to get there.
And I mean, look, Steve, we've had this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest thing to do is to dump on the committee after the fact.
Right.
Right? And one game is one game.
Right.
And as a person who is also often dumped on with one game after the fact, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, like, the entire college basketball population was saying this was going to happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, my miss, and I find it almost perverse logic, doing what I do and seeming to be in this pattern of getting 67 out of 68, no more, no less, for however many years in a row.
Right.
Like, it's at the point now where I predicted my miss before it happened. Because I thought I was going to miss on Oklahoma,
right?
Which was correct. And somebody said, "Well, you would have had them all." And I'm like, "No, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't have put Virginia in."
Right.
And that's kind of the point here, I think. And I am not an eye test guy.
Right.
Okay. We play 35 games a year, roughly, before Selection Sunday. We keep score for a reason. We should base it primarily on results.
Yeah.
But in this case, like, I base it on results, but I also, like, look at things. And I just kind of want to know what they were watching. And yeah. I don't even think it's that. I think that the ACC voice in the room simply was louder and more powerful than the Big East voice or Indiana State's voice or I don't know what voice. And what I really, really, really think is that they all knew that Pitt was better.
Yep.
Pitt blasted Virginia at Virginia.
Yep.
But they simply couldn't take Pitt because of that non-conference schedule number.
That's right.
And we could argue until the start of football season over whether that's a legitimate criteria. But what's not arguable is they've applied it consistently for 30 years.
Yeah.
If you're on the bubble with a crappy non-com number, you're not getting in. And it happened to you guys.
Yeah.
The year you won the NIT last. So,
yeah, right.
And I remember having that conversation with Patrick.
Yep.
So, at least you have to kind of stand up and acknowledge their consistency in applying. And they also didn't give Iowa State a one seed or higher up the two line because their non-conference schedule was awful. Like, right. I thought both of those things were, like, the most predictable outcomes in the whole bracket.
Right. And people don't realize, I've always tried to point this out to everybody, and please tell me if I'm off base here. Joe's not sitting there doing his opinion. Joe is trying to think the way the committee thinks, and he's trying to give you an indication of what direction they might be going in, and that's why the accuracy is so good. Am I fair there?
Exactly. Because, I mean, pick your favorite network for college basketball, and there's dozens and dozens of analysts telling you who should be in.
Yeah.
Right? And they're giving basketball opinions, presumably. It's a little irritating to me sometimes when they give those opinions and never say who they would take out.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, that's kind of part and parcel of the whole, like, limited field thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd like the Eagles to sign every all-pro defensive player available. But I think they have this thing called a salary cap, which prevents that. So we have our own salary cap. It's called, like, 68.
Yeah.
And the reality this year is we really only had 63.
Yeah.
Because the at-large pool shrunk by 5. I mean, it didn't shrink in real terms, but...
No,
for the typical at-large availability, 5 spots simply disappeared because of what you mentioned, the Saturday and Saturday night chaos. And in an average year, it's 1 or 2. So you want to be, I don't know, Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, Pitt, Providence, whomever. At least half of those teams would have gotten in a normal year. We'd be having an entirely different debate today.
That's right. And I think the combined total the last 2 years was 3. The combined total was 3. This time it was 5.
The average is about 1.5.
Yeah. And so...
Because I kind of like pay attention to these things.
Right. I noticed. And
well, I mean, anyone would if that was their job.
Right, exactly. And you know. I mean,
right? Like,
and Joe, here's the other part. But the NCAA committee still does a couple of things where I sit back and go, whoa, hold on. And I'll just give you one. We all know NC State had to play 5 games, 5 days. We know that.
Yes.
Okay. So, and they steal a bid because I believe before the ACC tournament they had no quad one wins.
Yeah, they weren't going anywhere.
Right, they're going nowhere. Right, but they play 5 and 5, and the result is Saturday night they win. Why are they playing on a Thursday and not a Friday? That's the part where I get baffled. Like, okay, why do they have to play Thursday?
Without reverse engineering the seed list into a blank bracket, which is what I will do at some point, it may be that was the only place they could go.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, yeah. Like I'm looking at the 11 spots, the spots for 11 seeds, 3 of the 4 happen to be Thursday, Saturday.
Right, okay.
And that's pretty random.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to bang them for that.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
On the list of transgressions, that would be like 105th.
Yeah. Was it, Apollo 13? There are 800 things that have to be happening between now and splashdown. We're up to number 8.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I really think, Steve. This is what I really think. If the NCAA was serious about cost containment and objectivity, they'd give Girardi and I a pizza and a six-pack and let us do it.
Oh, and believe me, we'd have a field at that point.
And we'd throw the NIT in no extra charge.
That's great. And not only that, would I at least be allowed to go out and bring in the pizza and the beverages?
Well, you'd be the tiebreaker when we didn't agree.
There you go. See, now we've solved
everything. But I know, our names have rhymed for 40 years, so I suspect we would agree a lot.
I had a feeling that there would not be a lot of arguments. How about that?
Well, and if there were, Dick would win.
Oh, now that, okay, there's an absolute in life. There's an absolute.
No, it's like being married. If you just assume you're going to lose the 1-1 vote,
exactly.
You save a lot of time.
Oh, no. I've always counted on, I know where 51% of the vote is. All right.
yeah, exactly. That's really great.
I always figure that out quickly. All right, so when you look at the field, right, what are your general thoughts of a couple things people should be looking for now as we get to the final day of the first four?
That, as much as it pains me to say, they basically got it right.
Yep.
Like we picked Nits because, A, good programming, and B, there are Nits to pick. And I guarantee you, if you put those same 12 people in the room today and they went through all that overlapped, repetitive voting for selection and seeding, the outcome would be different. It's really that close to call.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of separation at the end of the line. To me, the storyline of the season overlaps into the tournament, which is, and this is unusual, however you want to order the top three, they did UConn, Houston, Purdue.
That's right.
Okay?
Yep.
Right? And, since New Year's, almost, definitely mid-January, those three have been separated. Maybe not a full rung up the ladder, but at least a half a rung.
Yep.
And right? And now they jockeyed amongst themselves, but nobody ever slipped back to the rest of the pack.
Right.
So I think an interesting prop bet, I think of all the years where it was like, you want to take Tiger or you want to take the field out of Augusta? Right? I think if someone offered me those three against the field, what would the play be?
I mean,
because ordinarily in the NCAA tournament, you always take the field.
Yeah.
Because the field always wins.
Last year,
the best team, we think about how dominant UConn was, and they were a four.
They were a four seed. Yep.
Yeah, and they had their bumps during the year.
Yep.
I don't remember them complaining about being a four. And in fairness, Danny would complain that it's Tuesday. So
I know. You and I know that. Yes.
Oh my gosh, he would. I think he's a phenomenal coach, but he would give an aspirin a headache.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So. That said, I would be very surprised if the champion isn't one of those three.
Yeah.
And I think that what were the seed numbers last year of the Final Four? I think it added up to 23.
I think that's right, yeah.
It was a big number.
Yeah.
And the biggest number ever, I think. And I'm not saying we're not going to have upsets all over the place this weekend and maybe into next, but I think by the time they get to the end, we're going to have a regression to some chalk because of the power of those one seeds. Now, they're not all going to make it.
No.
Because it's only happened once in 40 years. But a couple, three of them are going to make it, I think.
Right. No, I think a couple of them will make it. Look, Penn State's in it last year. Okay.
Right.
And somebody asked me about what seed they were, and I said, you know what? I said, you know what the seeding means? Hey, all the seeding means is, okay, if you win, who's next? I said, it doesn't matter about where everybody else is. It just tells you what's your pathway. Right? And I think that's hard for people to grasp as to what that actually means.
Path is everything.
Yeah.
Path is everything.
Yep.
There's a great banner in Boca Raton that says Final Four 2023. It's never coming down credit.
Yep.
I don't think there's an asterisk that says we played FDU in the second round and not Purdue.
Right? Exactly.
And the ACC still coming after me for telling the truth about their decline. We had two teams in the Final Four, Duke and Carolina. Well, Carolina in the Elite Eight That's St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Now, nothing against St. Peter's.
But.
Right? Great story. We all loved it.
Yeah.
Since 1939, when the tournament started, no one's ever had an easier Elite Eight game.
That's right.
It just, you know, and it wasn't because of seed. It was because, you know, it wasn't Purdue's day against St. Peter's. It definitely wasn't Kentucky's day either in the round before. So, sometimes it just falls into the bad luck category or good luck.
Right. Well, exactly. But this
or bracket luck okay. or seed
right.
luck.
Just because you have great history, which is important, doesn't mean in this particular year you're having a great year. Right? And you add the intelligence to tell everybody, hey, look, you're not quite as good this year, which they are irritated about, because as I've told people, the last 2 years, let's take Indiana, as great a tradition as anybody has in the sport, right? They're right up there in tradition.
Correct.
Yet the last 2 years, Penn State's been a better team than Indiana, including this year. They've just been better.
No question.
Right? Well, guess what,
right.
Joe? It doesn't matter that you won in 1987. It's 2024. If Wake Forest isn't good enough, they're not good enough.
Yeah. I remember watching a baseball game once, and Joe Garagiola was talking about, I think it was the Astros and Art Howe being able to turn a double play. He was Astros manager at the time, and he's like, well, you know, he said, that guy's no better than Art Howe at turning the double play. He said, but Art Howe's 63 years old. You know, like, he doesn't quite pivot the way he used to. So that's what we're talking about. And when you said, you know, great history doesn't translate, I think the Latin word for that right now is Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, I love UVA as a school, as a program, but coach, yeah. everything.
Yeah.
They're just not very good at basketball.
Right.
And, oops. That's not, a world-ending statement. But I think we kind of saw it to be pretty true.
Yeah. Well, in the decade of the 20s, who has more NCAA tournament wins? Penn State or Virginia? Okay.
Well, I know Virginia doesn't have any.
That's right. And Penn State has one.
So, yeah. Yeah, so to me the logic is if that team went 13-7 in the ACC, now I'd have to look because like everything else now, there's unbalanced schedules.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
But, you know, I grew up on ACC basketball in part because it was the only thing on television.
Right, exactly.
ACC and Notre Dame.
Yep.
And
Same.
And, yeah, of course. And you can't tell me that this ACC, 5 years later, is as good as the one that had Zion Williamson.
That's right.
It just isn't. And at some point, they're going to wake up and go, you know, maybe we need to address the basketball part of this.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, go ahead.
No. I've pontificated more than enough, which I tend to do after the breakfast.
Yeah, no, this is you and me talking. Who cares? It's not pontificating. It's just two guys talking basketball. Hey, St. Joe's Seton Hall, opening round NIT. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, how about it? How many teams had to decline to open up this bracket to make it look like a regular NIT?
Yeah.
As opposed to what we feared,
right.
I know my Hawks are thrilled to be in. They didn't expect it, but as you know, as team after team after team kept failing, well, whatever was in the end, bid thieves on the one side, well, we had bid givers in the NIT.
Yeah,
Seton Hall's the number one overall seed. That's who the Hawks drew. You know, 7.5-point line is a big line for a postseason game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at the big arena. It's at the little gym on campus. Like, this is going to be a heavy lift for the Hawks.
Sure.
Who are pretty good.
Yeah.
But what have we seen in the NIT 100 times? Which is the teams that want to be there, you know, kind of stamp themselves pretty early. And some big names are there, and I would think there'd be fewer kind of bad effort teams because most of them presumably said no. But we don't know that. Like, I saw LSU hosting North Texas last night because it's in the other part of the Hawks bracket, and like they got blasted at home and looked like they couldn't have beaten a CYO team.
Right.
So, you know, as a Hawk, I'm kind of hoping that maybe Seton Hall has that issue tonight. But they start four seniors and a grad transfer, and they voted unanimously to play. So I'm going to bring a helmet.
There we go. Hey. Thank Joe. Thanks so much. You and I always have a great time just talking. Right? Just great to have you on,
yeah,
as always.
Yeah, my favorite. I love it when I hear from you, Steve.
Hey, Joe. I mean, you did another great job. And it's interesting because I talked to my broadcasting class today about critics. I said, I have two words. I said, if you know what you're doing, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it bothered me more, I guess, when I was younger. Yeah. And as long as people don't make it personal.
Right.
Like, for the most part, we're having basic, like, sports bar arguments.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yeah,
like, it's that kind of, I mean, fan is short for what? Fanatic.
Yep.
And if you know, that's what fuels the enterprise, well, be hypocritical of me to rebel against it. Because if nobody paid attention, you know, I'd be retired.
Right. And Girardi's the tiebreaker in the three-man room.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe next year, pal.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much, my friend. Let's stay in touch, please.
You bet. You bet. It's almost golf season.
Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers to buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're talking to NIL Game Changers about seeing if we can get another station to offer the suit of bag. I just thought it'd be a win-win for everybody. What? You act like I'm just a bad guy.
I'm interested to see what the bag is for him.
And look, there are a lot of people willing to donate internally. All right, so this half hour is sponsored by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday afternoon. So let's talk about program building. We're at that time of the year where the transfer portal is wide open for college basketball. It opened up on Monday. And we know right now Penn State, three former players are in there, Broggy Goodmanson, Favor Ira, and of course we all knew Kanye Cleary was going to go. All right, so then we'll see how everything plays out now over the next couple of weeks. Okay, because it's far from over for everybody across the board, right? For everybody. But let's look at the top teams. How have they been built? So let's take UConn, defending national champion, number one overall seed. They have three critical pieces that they have from the transfer portal. Everything else is homegrown. Point guard Tristan Newton, East Carolina. He's been there now in his second year at UConn, but they got him from East Carolina where he played 3 years. Okay, Hassan Diar, Texas A&M. And, of course, the guy that can just flat out shoot it, and that is Cam Spencer, who played against Penn State last year. Okay, when he was at Rutgers. Everybody else in that roster, now those are three key pieces, right? Three critical pieces right there that they were able to get out of the transfer portal, but all the other roster spots are homegrown, including Klingon. Klingon is out of Bristol. He's in the backyard. He's in the backyard of ESPN, for goodness sakes. All right. So, okay, Houston. Okay. Houston has on the roster, let's see, Cryer is a transfer. Dunn is a transfer. And that's it. They only have two transfers on the roster. Okay. Jamal Shedd, All-American, okay, three-year letterman, senior, but only two transfers on the Houston roster. Cryer was really good. He's a kid out of Katy, Texas, but really good. But he's a transfer. And Damian Dunn. Everybody else is either a high school player last year, letter winner, whatever, but that's the Houston roster. Okay. We know what Purdue's deal is. Purdue is a team with one primary transfer. That's Lance Jones. Everybody else homegrown through the system. So I've just taken the three top seeds and I've outlined the roster for you. You got to take, it doesn't take long to do this, everybody. It doesn't. Okay? North Carolina. Okay? Ingram is a transfer, as we all know. Ryan, terrific shooter, you know, fifth year, after 4 years at Notre Dame, he transferred out. He goes in there. He's a transfer. I think they've got one other player in that group that is a transfer, maybe two. But for the most part, they're a homegrown operation for the most part. Ryan is, of course, a critical piece to what they're doing. Just ask Duke. Okay. Ingram has been critical, and he is a transfer. But for the most part, you look at these teams. Yeah, we all know that Davis and Baycott were recruited there. Cadeau was recruited there. Trimble was recruited there. Washington was recruited. The only other guy that's a transfer in that group is Withers. Ingram and Ryan being the two key ones. Everybody else is homegrown there. So, no, they've been selective. UConn's been selective. Houston has been selective. I don't think people expected me to give you the answer, Houston selective. And Purdue has been absolutely selective. mean, that's the top. I mean, you were talking about the top seeds here. My point is about culture. And you can't have the culture you want if you have interchangeable parts all the time. So Tennessee's the fifth overall seed. We all know that Dalton Connect came from Northern Colorado. But that's the kind of guy that, okay, you look at and he's moving up in classification like Lance Jones did. Lance Jones went from Southern Illinois to Purdue. And essentially, like, you know, Newton went from East Carolina to UConn, where you're moving up. He's going from Northern Colorado, which I believe is in the Big Sky, to playing in the SEC. Okay? Grant Hurst is from UT Martin, and that's it. Everybody else on the Tennessee roster, actually, Jordan Ganey's from South Carolina Upstate. Everybody else in that roster is homegrown by Rick Barnes. That's Tennessee. Now, we all know we're going to get a different result when it comes to Iowa State, right? So let's just see Iowa State's been basketball's version of the United Nations. So let's see. Going through. They don't do a good job of listing. They give all the high schools, but they don't give the transfer part. Freshman, senior. Yeah, they don't. Iowa State doesn't do that. Sure. But let's just see here. Let's just see. They have a game notes area. Game notes will tell you. Well, maybe a little bit more. Practice facilities, don't really care. Schedule, don't care. Historical, don't care.
I really thought when you said it was going to be different, I didn't think you were going to say Iowa State. I thought you were going to say Arizona.
Arizona is international.
Well, I guess I'm just more referring to Caleb Love.
But Caleb Love did not transfer directly to Arizona.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Michigan part.
He went to Michigan, then he went to Arizona. Okay? And that's what makes it different. I don't quite have a good read here on... What is inside? Inside Cyclone Alley. Visit Iowa State. I don't want to visit Iowa State. Like, at all. No offense. Now let's just go to news. Let's see if they got game notes in here. Because game notes would put out a better roster. Big 12 primer, number one Houston. Cyclones blast in the final. Yeah, primer. Kansas State primer. Let's see what their primer thing is. Let's see if they got anything more extensive than some ridiculous little note thing package here. There we go. ISU notes. Usually when you get to the game notes, the roster is a little more involved than going online. Let's see. Iowa State. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Trey King's from Eastern Kentucky. Pavelski is from Wofford. Curtis Jones is from Buffalo. Keyshawn Gilbert's from UNLV. Robert Jones is from Denver. Hassan Ward. Now he's been with them a while. He's from VCU. I remember Hassan Ward playing against Penn State. So it's not as involved as people realize. So King starts, he's a transfer. Okay? Lipsy starts, he's from Ames. Okay? He has spent, he's been there 2 years. Gilbert is from UNLV. Robert Jones, I think, mentioned he's from Denver. And Momcilovich is from Wisconsin. Okay. So, again, than everybody else is, for the most part. There's not as many transfers at Iowa State as people realize. I've had more in the past. Look at the Big Ten. I already talked about Purdue, top team. So who finished second? Illinois. Illinois has Terrence Shannon, who was going to also go to Michigan, but then couldn't get in, so he ended up going to Illinois. Dane Danger, Marcus Damask. But after that, Ty Rogers homegrown, Coleman Hawkins homegrown, Luke Goody homegrown. You start going through, like, you know, they actually have more homegrown people than you realize. Nebraska's the one that's different. You look at, like, Martinelli, Barnheiser, Nicholson, okay? Boo Booey, Ty Berry. They're all homegrown guys in the lineup for Northwestern. They finished in the top four. Wisconsin, they only added in A.J. Storr. I mean, Kamari McGee is a transfer, too. But A.J. Storr is the only transfer they added in. That, right? Everybody else is homegrown. Crowell, Wall, Hepburn. Klesmitz, a transfer as well. But notice that there's a core group with each one. Now, Nebraska's not like that. Mast is from Bradley. Alec. Is that, believe it or not, Alec is a Lincoln kid. He came back home. He transferred back in. Gary's from played at Alabama. Bryce Williams is a transfer. Now, Tominaga is a JC kid. To me, I count that as a recruit, right? As one of your recruits. And Lawrence is a homegrown guy. But, you know, we all know that that's how they've been doing it in Nebraska. Nebraska finally got another athletic director today. Troy Dannon, by the way, is leaving Washington after being at Washington a few months. All he had to do at Washington was, oh, Kalen DeBoer's leaving. I have to hire Jed Fish. I'm going to fire the basketball coach, too. I'm going to Nebraska to see him. That's what he did. Let's list your accomplishments at Washington. Well, the football coach left for Alabama, fired the basketball coach, and I'm here.
There's a quote from his press conference at Washington that was the last job he was ever going to take.
Yeah, of course. Oh, no. It's like what Jim Harbaugh said. Oh, Michigan's the only job I ever wanted. This is after you did a 9-hour interview with the Vikings. Over here in the back, I vote no. I think you wanted to go to Minnesota. Why do you sit there for 9 hours? For the exercise?
He was practicing.
Intellectual stimulation? What? Hey, come on.
It is Jim Harbaugh. I wouldn't put it past him.
I know. But that's what he said. Yeah. You're like, it's the only place I want to be. Oh, over here in the back. Nah, no, I'm not so sure. But look at the top teams. They've been very selective about transfers. Right? Iowa State does have 60% of their starting lineup transfers. I got that. Okay. But everybody else is stabilized. And you need to have that base, stable group to me in your program, whether you're football or basketball, and then add in what you need in the transfer portal. Right? Now, Penn State was in a different position last year because you come in and you sit down to have your first team meeting, and it took about 22 seconds to do attendance. Okay, that's just a quick name, yours. Okay, we're done. Right. So you needed players. So in 59 chaotic days, Penn State was able to get 9 transfers and a recruit. Okay. But the key moving forward is keeping the base group stable. James Franklin has been able to keep the base group stable. And then you add in a Julian Fleming. Then you add in an A.J. Harris. Then you add in a Nolan Rucci. Or in the past, you've added in an Arnold Ebiketie. You've added in a Chop Robinson. You've added, you see where we're going here. Where you're not sitting there saying, hey, great news, we added in 20 transfers. Holy mackerel. That was the Michigan State model in Mel Tucker's first year. Look how successful it is, and look how they've done nothing since. Because the transfer portal works both ways. As I pointed out a few times, right, before Michigan State hit some trouble, I said it works both ways. I said they added in 9 transfers, this is 2 years ago, and lost 25. Again, only takes seconds to check these things, but you've got to be looking for it. Okay, information is not handed to you in life. And when you look at the top teams, they all are built around a core group with additions made in to make the core group better. And that's what you're looking for. So for Penn State, Mike's gone through his first year. He has already has 3 signed players and has a verbal for a 4th that will sign next month. He has 2 open positions right now that can be filled in the transfer portal if that's the way he wants to go. That's as of today. And we'll just see how everything plays out over the next couple of weeks. But, okay, but you still have, I mean, you can, to me, you cannot build a locker room culture, and to me, you cannot build a program unless you have a core group of program people. And then add in others into your core group, because in the end, who are your best recruiters? Your best recruiters are your players. We can sit there and say, oh, you know, the kind of job X, Y, and Z are doing in recruiting and blah, 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 blah. Oh, please. NIL is important. I got it. Showing them the campus is important. I got it. But it's your players on the current team that are your best recruiters. Hey. And they can go and they can tell the coach, hey, great guy, fits great. Or they can go up to the coach and say, you know what, he's not our kind of guy, he doesn't fit. And you can have your best recruiters in there when you have people who are, I mean, I don't know these people personally, right? But you don't think R.J. Davis and Armando Bacot, there's a pretty good chance they've been really important when guys come on the campus, whether it's a transfer coming in or it's a 4-year player coming in, and talking to them about what it's really like in Chapel Hill. Because they've been there every day and they haven't left. And that's important to have. It's still important to have. I don't, you know, everybody, you know, on the list of words I hate the word bag. I hate that. I know, but I hate that. I can't stand the word, right? So, you know what a bag is? Bag's something I put something in when I need to carry it out to the trash. It's like the cool word. Hey, I'm going to show everybody I'm cool. I'm going to use it. Hey, let's get him bag. I'm like, oh God, will you just grow up and just say it's money? Okay. You can actually use real words. It's okay to use real words. Okay. You don't have to be the cool one. All right. But I look at stuff like that where it's like long term. You want long term success, not just short term. Long term success comes from building a core culture where you add in to the culture from either recruits or portal guys that are added in to a base that's already there. Sets the tone for everything when you have that. All those schools I just talked about had a base. Iowa State, maybe not so much because that's been more transient. In the Big Ten, Nebraska's the only one that is transient. Everybody else has a pretty solid, for the most part, core group. Right. Illinois brought in last year. Well, they brought in Danger, and they brought in Meyer. And Meyer didn't help them both on the floor and in the locker room. He didn't help them. See, that's what I mean. You've got to be able to bring in the right combination. Okay. And again, Mike was in a different spot this year. Now it's his job to stabilize that part and build what he needs. And when he was at VCU, they needed a shooter. Kid was available because Hartford's program was breaking up. They brought him in. The kid helped him a lot. He's not, believe me, he's not averse to bringing in transfers. But you also have to really start, like, you have to build your foundation. You still have to build your foundation, even in the current atmosphere. Hey, let's just bring in 12 guys. Here we go. Hey, look, we brought in all these transfers. Well, not all the transfers are good. And the some come in, they're terrific, and they're great attitude people, and they enhance what you're doing. Again, a lot of them are like that. And there's some that aren't. That's the part that's never talked about. All right. Mark Wogenrich, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.